At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Early holiday savings have arrived at Tanger Outlets. Discover the best gifts from your favorite brands, perfect for everyone on your list. And stack your savings with up to 70% off, plus an extra 15 to 25% off only during Tanger Style. Save at Polo Ralph Lauren, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, Skechers, J.Crew Factory, and more. Hurry in. These early holiday deals last through November 24th. Tanger Outlets. More savings, more cheer.
Welcome to the Mile High Huddle podcast with your football priests, Chad Jensen and Zach Kelberman. Remember, Broncos country is not a geographic location. It's a state of being.
Welcome in, everybody. It is the Mile High Huddle podcast. I'm your host, Chad Jensen, and unlike a normal Monday night, Zach, where this would be an aftermath episode, this is more of like a look ahead. Mm-hmm. With me, as always, my fellow football priest, you know him, you love him, Zach Kelberman. But Zach, before we officially start casting our minds toward the Saints and Thursday night football, one day removed from the Broncos, disappointing loss. How are you feeling about things, brother?
I'm not as down on Bo Nix as a lot of people. I rewatched the game and I came away encouraged by the fight that Bo Nix had. Chad, he got out of pressure probably at least 10 times. Near sacks, you know, hits, being chased out of the pocket. He extended plays constantly, got no help there. And I'm of the mind, and I might be in the minority, if they would have converted that two-point conversion, I believe they would have at least tied up the game in the fourth quarter. The offense was moving, the defense was humming, they had momentum on their side, but that play call was questionable, the execution was poor, and at that point forward, it was like, poof, All the momentum gone. So I'm encouraged by Bo Nix. A lot of season left to go. Still 3-3, Chad.
I'll tell you what. I am not discouraged. Nothing that I've seen up to this point has defied my general expectation of what it's going to look like with a rookie quarterback. Maybe in my heart of hearts, there's a part of me that wistfully hoped that we'd be seeing maybe not Star Wars numbers exactly, Zach, but something a little bit closer to what's he at on the season, Bo Nix. Is he at a perfect touchdown to interception ratio now? Hold on, I got to look this up, Bo Nix PFR. So hold on, Bo Nix on the season. I interrupted my own thoughts here. So five touchdowns, five picks. So he's an even Steven on the touchdown interception ratio. I would hope it'd be a little bit better than that, but I'm not upset over the fact that he's still growing, he's still learning, and the Broncos are eating, you know, their opponents, for example, Zach, they have that additional $53 million on the roster contributing on game day. Broncos don't. Sam Bam, brother, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Good to see you tonight, big dog. He says, hi, guys, tough loss yesterday, but hopefully the Broncos can bounce back Thursday night in a short week against New Orleans. There's no doubt, though, that the Broncos lack playmakers and wide receiver depth. That needs to be addressed in the offseason. Broncos for life. Well, you listen to Sean Payton, and it's kind of interesting, Zach, because when we go live for the gut reaction, we don't get to observe the, you know, the postgame pressers. And one of the themes that Sean Payton really harped on yesterday at the podium, Zach, and then today was, hey, we just need to continue to get feed and get more out of our young players on skill positions like Devon Vele and Troy Franklin and Audric Estime, which is something you and I were both saying yesterday that, hey, you know, at the end of the season, we might be viewing this skill position group completely different than the way it's viewed right now, in the same sense that Cortland Sutton became a stud or a star, Zach, by the end of his rookie year.
Sam's 100% correct. The offseason shopping list should be wide receiver, running back, wide receiver, tight end, offensive line, just everything to help out Bo Nix, who, by the way, talk about supporting cast. He finished another game as the Broncos' leading rusher, Chad, He had 61 yards. That's the third time this season he finished as the Broncos' leading rusher. Fun fact, the Broncos lost all three of those games. They need some sort of spark in the backfield. Whether it's Estime, whether it's McLaughlin, Watson, Javonte simply hasn't gotten it done.
I'm telling you, dude. Yeah, there's times where you're like, can anybody get open? But honestly, if the Broncos had better success on first and second down running the ball, a lot of these problems wouldn't be problems. We wouldn't even be talking about them. That's why you see so many third and eights, third and nines, and that's why you see the Broncos converting basically one out of four third downs. They're one of the worst third down teams in the NFL because they can't get it done on first and second down, and then everybody wants to blame Bo Nix. So that's on Sean Payton. That's on the O-line, and honestly, it's on the running backs to step it up. Like, I think it was Luke Patterson and his keys, or pardon me, his takeaways yesterday from the game. Third takeaway was it's time to bench, not in the sense where he doesn't play, but Javonte, no longer RB1 is what Luke was asserting. And hey, maybe that's where the Broncos are feeling right now too, Zach, because all this love and kind of attention that seems to be going toward Audric Estime. We'll see if it comes out in the wash on Thursday. But David, the Papa Bear, what's up, bro? So good to see you tonight. Appreciate every single stream. This man is throwing down a super chat in support of us and almost every MHH stream, period, whether it's our show or one of the other shows. And David, we appreciate you, my friend. You know this. He says, good evening, Broncos country. Chad, Zach, and Deacon Scott. Sean Payton needs to let someone else call plays. Hashtag 10-7. God bless the USA. MHH for life. Broncos for life. Let's go, Bo. What do you think about that, Zach?
It's not going to happen. Sean's not going to give up play calling responsibilities until it's absolutely necessary. And they're still 3-3. Like I said earlier, the season's still in front of them. They're facing a banged-up Saints team coming up on Thursday, Sean Payton revenge game. They should be up for it. They go up 4-3 on the year. They're right back in the thick of things. I am getting to the point with, you know, on a macro level, how stale and predictable and horizontal the play calling can be. I wonder in the back of my mind sometimes how Davis Webb would look calling plays on a full-time basis. Would it look more like a 2024 innovative offense? But we're going to have to wait a while to find that out, Chad.
I'm not even thinking that way, dude. You know, it's convenient as soon as things start hitting the skids, then people start doubting Sean Payton, the play caller, when, you know, yesterday at 6 p.m. or whatever, you know, figuratively speaking, he was being heralded as one of the greatest offensive minds of the year. It's like, pump the brakes. There's a lot more going on here. Now, does that mean we take the onus off of Sean Payton and the need to do better? No. Obviously, there needs to be some kind of a change, not in terms of who's calling plays. That's not what I'm asserting, but Sean Payton needs to come to a different kind of strategy, I think. And you hit on something early in our stream yesterday, Zach, where you were talking about maybe it's too scripted early on. And what I take from that, because of course, as is the tradition and the approach with West Coast coaches, is they'll script the first, you know, we'll say 15 to 20 plays of a game based on their game planning of the opponent. Well, Sean Payton, what I think, Zach, is that he needs to be a little bit more malleable and adaptable to, oh, it's not working like we thought it would in our game planning. Instead of rigorously sticking to that, let's actually make our adjustments now instead of waiting until the third quarter.
Yeah, I mean, you can't be too stubborn. I never really understood the full point of scripting plays to start when anything can change at a moment's notice, Chad. A player can go out, a player can come in. Things happen on the fly in the NFL, and you can't script what happens. You should be playing by the seat of your pants for the most part. You don't have to watch 3 hours of the full game. You don't have to watch all 22 and break that down. Just go to YouTube, NFL YouTube, watch the highlights of the condensed highlights, the second half versus the first half. When Bo is just playing loose and playing comeback up tempo and just going out there backyard football, that's when he plays his best. He's thinking too much in the first half, and Sean Payton's thinking too much too. He's outsmarting himself and sticking a square peg in a round hole despite it not fitting repeatedly.
Indeed. Drake Wally, what's going on? Our brother from the Colts beat checking in to say,
thank you, Drake.
A super chat. Dudes, been too damn long. Through 6 weeks, how do you each feel about Nix? Also, is Williams back to RB1? I think what he means is like, is he giving you RB1 production? But what's your answer for Drake?
Javonte was the last couple of weeks. It seemed like he was turning a corner, then fell off the cliff once again against the Chargers. About Bo Nix, I think, honestly, Chad, with you take away PS2 and maybe Zach Allen, Bo Nix has been the Broncos' best player just because the way he's growing it, and it seems like in yesterday's game, he was the only one fighting. I mentioned him getting away from pressure and extending plays. You look at the lack of supporting cast, the Bo Nix scramble, or the magician-like, Mahomes-like, Garrett Bowles blew a block three times on that play alone, literally stood there like the controller died in Madden. Bo Nix has to overcome all these things, and he was the only one with motion. He was the only one making plays and at least moving the offense in a positive direction. Also had a couple nice throws. You just see the progress. So considering he's a rookie and a Sean Payton offense with probably the worst supporting cast in the NFL, Drake, I am damn sure encouraged by how Bo Nix has looked.
I'm not worried about Bo Nix. He's saying here, with serious power back vibes, with how bad Williams is, it's worth a shot. Let me look at something here. Let me see the full.
About
is Williams back to everyone with serious power back vibes? Audric, oh, okay. Audric deserves a shot. Drake, you're going crazy on Super Chat tonight, bro. Love it. Thank you, bro. Audric deserves a shot. He's got athletic AJ Dillon vibes and causes chaos with his power running. Williams has been bad, so it's worth a shot. Yeah, he really has. Like, we Zach and I both before the Jets game, we were saying, so before week five, we were saying, time to start looking elsewhere. But Audric's on IR, so you got to kind of wait. Let's see. We were talking about Tyler Bidé, then he got hurt, and then just what coincided with Bidé going down, Zach, all of a sudden Javonte starts producing on the road. Tough game against a tough defense in the rain. Javonte throws down against the Jets, throws down the following week against the Raiders, and then just reverts is the word I'm looking for, back to the pre-Jets form. It's time to shake things up. Like, I think the blocking basically, guys, has to be perfectly ideal for Williams to really get that head of steam and start trucking dudes, jumping over them. The vision remains just poor. They need a running back that has some vision, that can see the creases in the backside, holes that open up, Zach, the creases. But the problem with Estime, and I'm touching wood as I say this, I'm with you, Drake. Let's just hope he can hold on to the ball, because that's what happened in week one. Boop, ball comes out, rookie hits the bench.
It seems like the post-injury Javonte, when the wheels fall off, I mean, all four fall off at the same time. He averaged under 4 yards a carry. He had a bad drop on a screen pass. He fumbled. He blew a block on the two-point conversion. I think he's just shot at this point. Estime had that 11-yard carry, and I actually saw pre-Javonte Williams vibes, a one-cut runner with enough vision and enough burst to make something and fall forward for positive yardage. We haven't seen that from Pookie in 3 years. I agree with Wally. The A.J. Dillon, the thunder to Jaleel McLaughlin's lightning in this case, it's worth a shot.
By the time that running backs coach, pardon me at the moment, I forget his name, decided to work the rookie in yesterday against the Chargers, it was too late. They had to start throwing like crazy. They were down three scores. And so he kind of became, not to say that he can't contribute on as a pass catcher, but obviously the coaching staff doesn't quite trust him in that department yet. But Drake, well said, some interesting observations. And I'm still stoked, for what it's worth, guys, on Bo Nix. Whether it's a loss or a win, I love that fight that he showed in the fourth quarter, and kind of trying to, Zach, take matters into his own hands. We talked a lot about that yesterday. You mentioned it earlier upon your review. Love that. Eric Flynn, good to see you, big dog. Thank you for the stars on Facebook. Always appreciate you. We also have the Ronk checking in. Michael Ronquillo to say good evening. Chad and Zach on the Mile High Huddle podcast. Aftermath, go Bo Broncos. Right back at you, brother. And then we have Zeus McPeak.
Zeus.
The first base, as we say, etched on the MHH Super Chat Superstar Mount Rushmore is this cat right here.
That's right.
It gave Zach and I a lot of encouragement, a lot of love, a lot of support when we first started doing these live streams, and was really the reason the name, corny as it might sound, Super Chat Superstar came into being, was this man right here. So Zeus, legendary OG, says, difficult game to watch. Hopefully we can turn things around. We need our running game to show up. That's what I'm saying, Zach.
Yeah, and Stu is still being supportive all these years later. I love you, bro. Really appreciate it. Yeah, it's we said this before the season. We said this from the moment Bo Nix was drafted, and we're not the only ones. It's common sense, but a rookie quarterback needs at least a halfway decent running game, and the Broncos' running game has not been halfway decent. They've shown flashes. They've shown spurts. Javonte gets going, then the wheels fall off. Bidet gets going, then he gets hurt. Hopefully Estime can turn things around, Stu, and they have some sort of complementary piece to help out Bo.
We shall see. They got to have a little something unique up their sleeve this time. And I think Sean Payton has shown the still the presence of mind, Zach, to recognize when a change needs to be made. We saw that about to happen before our very eyes when Tyler Bidet went down against the Jets. And it's no coincidence that it was in the wake of, you know, three straight games of Pookie just failing to show up. And Jahlil, he's just not built to carry the load in the NFL. Even, Zach, like an 8 to 15 carry a game type of, I mean, in a Sean Payton offense, that's a bell cow. And Jahlil, he's just not really built for that. So it's time to pass the baton. I think all signs right now point to Audric Estime. And let's just hope that when the Broncos go to him, and they are going to be going to him, let's just hope my dude holds on to the ball, and then I think we'll see some playmaking.
And this could be a get right opportunity for the Broncos rushing attack. The Saints defense in years past was really good under Dennis Allen. They ranked 32nd overall, dead last in total defense entering week 7. I think they allow 134 rushing yards per game. So they're, you know, near the bottom there too. This is another week where it should be an offensive explosion for Denver, but what should be and what happens are two different things with Sean Payton, it seems.
This is true. Guys, tonight we do plan on here in the next little bit. We're going to do our head-to-head comparison of Broncos Saints, so stay tuned for that. While you're with us right now, all of you watching on YouTube, all of you watching on Facebook, please just take a quick second. Make sure you hit like. Even if you're watching on your TV, just take that remote, do the little thing, like the video. It can be done. We appreciate you. Phil, down in Tucson, proving that Broncos country is not a geographic location. It is, in fact, a state of being. Zach, he might be in Tucson. He might be in, like, Ireland. He might be in the UK somewhere, but he's always going to check in, and he's always supporting and contributing to the conversation. He says tonight, Phil, good evening, Chad, Zach, and Deacon Scott. Time to start Estime and get some new play calling. These opening play calls are so consistent that everyone knows what's coming. Hashtag Buckham, MHH for life, Broncos for life. Zach, I can really, now maybe this is a recency bias kind of coloring my memory here, but it seems like Tampa was the only time you really saw this offense get out to a positive start. Everything else, it's like clunky, 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 and then, you know, a few times the floodgates have opened, but what do they got to do? Is he right? I mean, what do you do to get the floodgates opening earlier in games?
I think you go more no huddle. I think you go more up-tempo in the first half and not wait till you're 20 points behind and when your back's against the wall, Phil, and you're right and appreciate your support as always. Just don't be so scripted. I mentioned flying by the seat of your pants. It might maybe not that extreme, but just go with the flow. You mentioned malleable. You're right. The NFL is very fluid. Things can change on a per-down basis. So just go with the vibe of the game and not be so rigid and so regimented.
Well said. George Fox jumping in on Facebook as well. Good to see you, my friend. He says, it looks like the plays in the first quarter are close to the same in each game. So kind of echoing what Phil's saying. Or am I not seeing what everyone else sees? Broncos for life, MHH for life. Hit the thumbs up, guys. Yes, thank you, buddy. Yeah, there's something to the structure. And it's one thing, I'm not saying that Sean Payton should do away with, you know, two decades of you know, his approach to game planning and structuring and scripting the first, you know, quarter, we'll say quarter to beginning of the second. Usually, Zach, is how it pans out. I mean, how often do you see a 20 play drive? Well, if you're the Chargers, first time in 25 years, basically, that you've seen that. But I digress. It's not that you go away from that, Zach. It's that you show a better propensity and presence of mind to, oh, our game planning, it's not working the script. Let's adjust now instead of waiting until the second half coming out right of halftime. They got to have a better process for that, whether it's their, I mean, Joe Lombardi, is he up in the booth? You know, like whoever it is that can see some eye in the sky, quality control. I know obviously they recently the pass game coordinator, Zach Grassi, had to take a leave of absence. Maybe that affects things because he's battling cancer. So prayers up to him, by the way. We didn't get a chance to talk about that yesterday, but he has had to step away from the team to battle cancer, the Broncos pass game coordinator. So that probably affects things a little bit, Zach, but it's still Sean Payton.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not the biggest fan, like I said, of scripting plays to begin with, but that's the nature of coaching, it seems. My only issue is if Sean Payton is scripting plays like it's 2014 with Drew Brees, because it's not. It's 2024 with Bo Nix. And like I said earlier yesterday, I just think he still can, you know, put so much on Bo Nix's plate, all these responsibilities, these wordy play calls, the verbiage, yada, yada, because right out of the gate, Sean Payton's arrogant enough to think he can mold another Drew Brees. He needs to let Bo be Bo and build and play to his strengths, and I hope we see that starting Thursday, Chad.
Z-Bo down in Oz checking in 2 days in a row. Thank you, bro.
Thank you, Z. Says,
love the show, guys. Yep, the running game is on and off, but we have O output zero, I guess is what he's saying. My bad, the syntax. There you go. We have zero output from the tight end group. Please let Nix be a rookie. Hashtag MHH for life, Nix for six. Yeah, like Kenneth Booker wrote an article after yesterday's game. Got to stay patient with the rookie. Let him learn. Let's see how what lessons he gleans, Zach, from yesterday's game. And obviously, it's incumbent on the coaches to help him learn those lessons sooner rather than later.
I don't think Bo Nix had any true rookie moments yesterday. And I agree with the premise here. Let him be a rookie and let him take the bumps and grow and play to his strengths. But again, the rushing ability, the magician play I mentioned earlier, if that was Patrick Mahomes, Chad, that would be on SportsCenter top 10 highlights. Because it was Bo Nix, I guess it wasn't. He also had a great hole shot in triple coverage to, I think it was Vele in the second half. I mean, he had some really nice plays in that game yesterday, and it seemed like at times, again, he was the only one on fast forward while everyone else was on rewind.
Real quick, by the way, I'm trying to, before I grab Michaela, I'm trying to open the weekly release. Scott, I don't know if you can get into that email I forwarded you, and see if you can actually download the PDF, because when I'm doing it, it's coming out as a MP4 for some reason instead of the normal PDF, which that you can then click on and it turns it into a tab, a browser tab. I don't know why it's doing that. But anyway, Michaela, the Duchess, jumping in. We love you, Michaela. Thank you.
Michaela, stop.
Broncos and I have something in common. We both look ugly. That's not true. Stop. I'm not sure about Bo, but it's more on Sean. Look, to us, you are a beautiful person. We love you, and you're a huge part of our lives. So come on now. Don't talk about yourself that way, Michaela. We love you. And the Broncos had an ugly loss. But even those uniforms, Zach, people are going, they deserve to lose. They were so ugly. I didn't think they were that ugly. I don't think they were ugly at all, actually. It was just different. It was just new, seeing that new kind of, what do they call it? Is it autumn orange they're calling it? It's a slightly different orange. Sunset orange. That's what they're calling it. With the blue pants, it was unique, but I mean, I don't think it had anything to do with the team turning in a lackluster performance yesterday.
No, the problem is they followed up the best uniforms, the throwbacks, with those yesterday, and for the first time ever, that combination. I don't know. I don't really care. I care about the performance on the field. Michaela's right. It was ugly, but Bo had his shining moments, and as Chad and I always talk about almost each and every podcast, 2024, the sole priority, the only goal, is to see what Bo Nix can do, his development, and getting an answer on the franchise quarterback by the end of the year. He's taking steps every week, and I think there was way more good than bad yesterday, Michaela.
I'm starting to get a little bit worried that we're going to be able to do our head-to-head here, because the website is now also not wanting to load for us here. And the PDF is not downloading. Maybe they're updating it. I don't know. So fingers crossed, we'll see. If it doesn't work out, maybe we can talk to Luke and Tom about doing a head-to-head for you guys. Hopefully it works out, but we'll see. Fingers crossed. Taylor, hey guys, who steps up this week for PS2? Well, it was kind of interesting, Zach, because what we saw yesterday was they kicked Jaquan McMillan.
Outside.
Let's get our syllable emphasis correct here. he was playing on the outside and it didn't go too well. I don't think that's par for the course. I think it was just a sudden shift and a sudden change that he and Vance Joseph weren't quite ready for. But given a few practices, Zach, to maybe get things schemed up right and for Macmillan to be a little bit better prepared, I think he could probably be okay. But the next man up, I think, in terms of corners coming on the field, that third corner, is probably going to be Levi Wallace, as we saw yesterday. But I wouldn't hate seeing Chris Abrams drain, as we said yesterday as well.
That's crazy. They would move Jaquan outside, and they moved Levi to the nickel. It was odd, Chad. It was like back in the days when they made Chris Harris Jr. play boundary corner. He's a slot guy. Play where he's best. The good thing is, I mentioned the Saints, they are all sorts of beat up right now. They're starting a backup quarterback. Their starting receiver, Chris Olave, has a concussion. He probably won't play. Their second receiver, Shahid, has a knee injury or whatever. He might not play. They have Alvin Kamara, and that's pretty much it. So they can get by with Riley Moss as cornerback one, and like Chad said, a combination of Levi Wallace, maybe Damari Mathis, and maybe, though not likely, Chris Abrams-Drain making his season debut.
This is so weird. It still is trying to – let me see what Mr. Producer is saying real fast. Okay, he has it. All right. Taylor, we're going to see how that shakes out, but being that we're at about 25 minutes – let's do the head-to-head, and look, he's already got it good to go. So, Scott, let me go ahead and change that and change one other thing here. Okay, so as you guys know, green signifies top 10 ranking statistically. Red is bottom 10, and you have a 3-3 Broncos squad heading into Caesars Superdome to take on a 2-4 Saints squad. And when you look, Zach, at the first statistical area, the Broncos are minus one in turnover differential. That ranks 19th, so they're kind of middle of the pack there. Whereas the Saints are doing pretty well there. They're plus three, so that ranks them in the top 10. They're number eight. But that time of possession, Zach, puts them kind of right there at the top of the bottom third for the Broncos, whereas the Saints are middle of the pack. And look, all that separates is 1 minute. From middle of the pack, Zach, to a bottom ranking is one minute of possession. So there is that. Then we have on offense, the Broncos, look at all that red. It's pretty ugly. Let's see, Scott, let's see third down. Okay. Yeah, that's bad. 1-4, Zach, for your Broncos offense. 1-4 third downs being converted. 50-50 in the red zone. That's not too bad. That's middle of the pack. Ties them for 19th. But look at the Saints. They're scoring 28 points per game. That's good for sixth. Now, they haven't, you know, the Broncos defense it's probably not going to let them score 28. But, Zach, you're probably going to have to, if you're Bo Nix and Sean Payton, you're probably going to have to put 21 to 24 points on the board to win this game on the road. And then you look also, now granted, it's a different quarterback. It's a rookie quarterback. But the Saints offense so far ranked third on third down and third, Zach, in the red zone. They're converting nearly 3 out of 4 red zone trips into touchdowns.
Yeah, I'm watching Aaron Rodgers right now, and I'm hearkening back to when he called the Broncos game an outlier. And if you follow the Saints, the start to the season was a major outlier for Derek Carr in that offense. The points per game and some of the other green and boosted numbers were kind of manufactured by the point output. They had 47 in week one, 44 in week two. Then they had 12, 24, 13, and 27 yesterday. So again, the loss of Derek Carr and them kind of just naturally crashing back down to earth. I don't think that Saints offense, Chad, is as good as some of those numbers indicate. Though again, they still have Alvin Kamara, who's a hell of a running back.
I mean, they do have 9 giveaways total. That's 3 fumbles, 6 picks. So I could see this being the game, especially with Spencer Rattler. You know, if he does end up starting again, which all signs point that way, but if he does, maybe this is the Broncos defense is one of those games where they can get back on the takeaway horse.
he has no one to throw to. I mean, literally, he's down his top two receivers. They don't have a tight end that's really worth anything out there in New Orleans. He's going to lean heavy on the ground game, Spencer Rattler. And again, you're right, Chad. This is a defense. This is a game where the defense should feast and dominate. I'm not looking to just simply hold them. I'm looking for the Broncos to dominate Spencer Rattler.
Well said. Now we take a look at the defense, and we start seeing some of that beautiful green. The Broncos are ranked still third or in the top five still in points per game allowed. So 16 points per game, that's third best in the NFL for a team allowing points. It's fourth best in net yards per game. Passing yards, that's fifth best passing defense. Broncos have five picks, which ties them for the eighth most in the NFL, which is good to see. You look on the Saints side of things, though, they have 10 picks. So you want to talk about opportunistic, they have been able to capitalize, and that has obviously contributed greatly to, Zach, to their scoring. You know, you not only get those extra possessions, but how many of those interceptions set the offense up in plus territory they're able to go to work. But sacks, look at this. The Broncos have 22. That's second in the NFL through six games. And in sacks, the Saints, Zach, 15. So that's middle of the pack. But their 12 total takeaways, man, that puts them at fourth most in the NFL. The Broncos, though, they saw their third down. The third down's still not quite where they want it to be. But red zone, no one is better than this Broncos defense in the red zone. But look who's right behind them at number two. Saints in the red zone. So what do you make of that, Zach?
The only Achilles heel the Broncos had on defense was their rushing, and it seems like VJ has that more under control. That Broncos front seven, Chad, the D-line, I cannot tell you how impressed I am with them. They're just big man-eaters up front, and we've, you know, dreamed of having this for quite a while. The Saints, as I said earlier, they were elite for years under Dennis Allen and Sean Payton, for that matter. I don't know why they fell off a cliff. They're very high energy. They're very opportunistic, as you see by the takeaway numbers there. They have Marshawn Lattimore, but they're very susceptible as well. Through the air, as you can see right there, 29th overall, 262 yards per game. If this isn't a breakout opportunity for Bo Nix and that Denver offense, what is?
I mean, they gave up, what, 51 yesterday to the Bucs? So hope remains. You know, Sean Payton hasn't done so well in the revenge category, with the exception of the Jets game, and that was about as ugly of a victory. When you talk about winning ugly, Zach, that's about as ugly as you can get out of a game with a win. But it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. Now, special teams, we'll take a quick look at special teams. Mr. Producer saying the Saints had 27 – let's see. They haven't scored 28 with Spencer Rattler. They had 27 in the second quarter last week, including a Rasheed PR punt return for a touchdown. All 27 points yesterday, which is what they finished with on the board, came in the second quarter, Zach. That's interesting.
And Shaheed's probably out now with that injury. One of their offensive spark plugs, one of their biggest spark plugs overall. So again, this is a down bad opponent, primetime game. The Broncos should be up for it. I'm expecting a win. And I know it's early. Maybe we'll give our roundtable predictions a little early before Thursday, but I'm expecting a dub this game, Chad.
Scott, let me see the special teams and the, well, yeah. Okay. So net punting average, Broncos ranked 10th, punt return average 7th, punt return average against, so we're holding him to 6.5 yards per return. That's 9th best. And then, yeah, so special teams, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the 7 key categories, Broncos are ranked top 10. Another mark of the coaching changes that happened when Sean Payton arrived. But look, the Saints, they prioritize good special teams as well. A lot of green there. However, their punter, not so good, Zach.
The Broncos punter is. I got to give Raleigh Dixon his flowers for yet another week. He was one of the random guys that was very hard on. You were as well. A lot of people were. They thought they can upgrade there. And he's been, you know, aside from PS2 or Bo or some other players, the MVP for the Broncos. And he was excellent yesterday against the Chargers.
Okay, here we go. So this little asterisk there is to showcase that it doesn't really count Monday Night Football, which we understand, but penalties committed, the Broncos are bottom of the league. They're tied for 24th most with 43. The Saints have 36, which puts them in the middle of the pack. But Broncos opponents committing the second most still up their high with 48. And the Saints are doing a good job to get their opponents, Zach, to lapse as well.
Yeah, hope. I mean, I think some of these flags were a little ticky-tack against the Broncos in recent weeks. That's neither here nor there. I don't play the blame game on the officials, but they need to stay disciplined on the road in a hostile environment in New Orleans on Thursday, Chad.
Now, look at this. How do you explain this? Because this is a great point from Mr. Producer. This means if you are ranked in the bottom third in penalties committed and the top two in opponent penalties committed, that means that the officiating crews have a you-know-what up there, you-know-what, about calling penalties in Denver Broncos games. What the Sam Hill's going on?
Broncos bias, anti-Sean Payton, Discord. I don't know what it is, but it seemed like there's always an axe to grind against Denver.
All right, there you have your head-to-head. An early one at that because, of course, we have a short turnaround this week with the Broncos taking on the Saints.
Dale, got, thank you, man.
Yeah, the D-Dub, another legendary, mythical figure in our community. Three OG Super Chat superstars checking in tonight. And D-Dub, definitely one of them, saying, Broncos, mistakes. Chargers, clean. Yep. Vele and Franklin must grow because Mims cannot run a route nor come down with a deep ball thrown right to him. Sutton, a big mistake. He runs a deep bench route and stops running. When he turns, ball was there. Yeah, just like little out of sync things still, right, in the passing game. And even Vele ends up as your leading receiver on the day. Franklin gets himself a touchdown, but the game before, Franklin drops a touchdown. Vele had a really bad drop yesterday. So I just think with more time on task, getting these two young guys more opportunities on the field, which the Broncos seem quite committed to, Zach, you'll start seeing some of those things come more into sync. That's my expectation.
The deep shots and Marvin Mims that Dale's talking about here, it was eerily similar to the play, I can't remember what it's called, that the Chiefs had against the Niners in the Super Bowl a few years ago to Tyreek when they made that comeback, that deep shot. And it was a little underthrown, I have to say. Mims had a slowdown and the defensive back got his hand in. If it was a little stronger thrown, that would have been a touchdown. They'll get it though, and at least Dale, they're using Mims on deep routes to kind of just clear out the defense.
D-Dub again, bro. Thank you. Love you. He says the backs need to go back to one cut and then get downhill. Too often they get pads turned at the line. Williams especially. I think he believes he can run through. This is the NFL though, not college. He needs to be north south to be at his best. Agreed. And I think part of that too is why we so consistently, I think it's most attributed to is a general lack of vision, but it's also that explains to Dale in part why he continually is running into his blocker's back. But let's get back to basics, man. And if Williams doesn't have the vision or just lacks that presence of mind, Zach, to see that cutback lane, one cut downhill. That was why career fullbacks like Ruben Drones could show up in a Mike Shanahan offense and bust out 1,200 yards and 12 touchdowns or whatever. You know, it's simple. Keep it simple, stupid, right? Kiss.
I just don't I've been one of the biggest Javonte Williams fans since he was drafted. Watching the highlights, I don't know if it was a run that he had where he got to the outside, made a first down, if it was a reception yesterday. But he looked so agonizingly slow. I just don't think he's physically capable after that knee injury and all the damage he had to his ligaments of performing like an NFL running back that has even a semblance of explosion. It sucks, but that it was a major injury that might have changed the trajectory of his career. You have to go with the younger guy who has the more upside, and that's, at this point, Estime.
Dale, love you, bro. Thank you so much. George Fox with a message that we echo. You're not ugly, Michaela. Ask anyone in Broncos country. You're loved by all of us, my dear. Yes, you are. You are thebomb.com. I have a really cool picture, though. It's my 6'6" son and Michaela. So little tiny Michaela and real tall DJ. And it's one of my favorite pics that I think I put it up on Instagram. You guys will have to go check it out. You can find it if you search hard enough. But Michaela, we love you. All right, Zach, 38 minutes. Right now, we are, I'm taking a quick glance up to see that the Jets have a 10-7 lead on the Bills in the second quarter, early in the second quarter. But being that this is our last episode, yours and mine, before the game, let's get into some keys and just a little bit of forecasting here. How are you feeling? Or what are Sean Payton's keys to a victory here in New Orleans?
Number one, the offense being the concern, start faster, play a little more loose, less scripted. Everything we talked about earlier, just more up-tempo, no huddle, whatever you have to do, just start faster, be aggressive, push the ball downfield. Just go back to what they showed against Tampa Bay or even the Raiders, for example. The running game, give more carries to Estime. See what you can do with McLaughlin. Hopefully Pookie gets right, get the running game going. And for Bo, the protection has to be there. Hopefully you get Mike McGlinchey back at right tackle, Forsythe is settling down at center. Garrett Bowles will hopefully show up. Just the continued production of the offense on defense. Like I said earlier, I don't want to just get by this game or limit New Orleans. There is no reason why, considering the injuries to the Saints' firepower, the Broncos should not be able to dominate this game on defense. If they're as good as the numbers are and if VJ fancies himself, they should own Spencer Rattler and company. Those are my keys, Chad.
You know, it was interesting. Riley Moss kind of spoke for everybody, but there were some other comments that basically said the same thing. But after the game yesterday, it was like, yeah, we did get shook a little bit, kind of like stunned. Not shaken in the sense that I don't think Zach, he meant that it affected their confidence so much as they weren't really prepared for their best defensive player to suddenly be gone on the first defensive snap of the game. And so considering that we have every reason to believe PS2 won't make it out of concussion protocol by Thursday night, I think this defense has the time to kind of get their ducks in a row and be prepared to play, especially having that whole game behind them, and then the time to prepare for Spencer Rattler and a skill position deprived Saints offense. So I'm expecting this to be one of those games that even without PS2, Zach, where this defense does kind of impose its will a little bit, even taking the ball away. And this is one of those games where Bo Nix and company have to be ready to capitalize on those opportunities. Like even yesterday, it ended up being the difference in the game. The Broncos turned it over twice, and in both cases, the Chargers made them pay. They got a touchdown out of one and a field goal. So those 10 points, what was the final score margin, right? 23-16 ended up being the difference in the game. So when those turnovers come on Thursday night, and I believe that they will, Zach, Bo Nix has to be ready to jump on that.
Yeah, I mean, BK saying PS2 is a huge loss, and obviously the Broncos' best player not playing is a loss. But if there's any week for him to miss, it's this week, and then he gets like a mini bye week to fully heal up for the next game. I'm looking at the Saints depth chart right now in front of me. Chris Olave has a concussion, assuming he's not playing. Shaheed has an injury, assuming he's not playing. The receivers are Mason Tipton, Cedric Wilson, and Bub Means, something named Bub Means. If the Broncos offense with or defense with Riley Moss and company can't shut them down, then I'm done.
We shall see. Phil says, pretty simple to beat New Orleans. Just use fourth quarter play calling to start the game. So you're approaching the fourth quarter where you say, hey, Bo, just go do you. He's saying that's how you beat New Orleans, but from the start. Or use the plays we use to start against Tampa Bay, Zach.
Great minds, Phil. It's what I said a second ago, just that it was night and day when they started against the Bucs. It was like, who are these Broncos and where have they been? I want to be able to say that again. Just start fast, start aggressive, and take shots down the field. It's all we really ask.
Thank you, Phil. Appreciate you the support and the insight, as always, my friend. We will save our predictions, also, you know, our official predictions for the roundtable that we'll publish probably middle of the day Wednesday. So look for the Mile High Roundtable article about lunchtime on Wednesday. But the Broncos, Zach, are 2-1 on the road this season. Both of those wins came on the East Coast road trip, so back-to-back, and Zach, one of them was in the NFC South. So I'll wait to fully reveal how I see things, but I think Sunday you saw Sean Payton and Bo Nix take a little bit of a step back. this is a game of all the games that Sean Payton has had some kind of a revenge stake in the outcome. This is the one that obviously is the biggest, right? Because Saints fans, generally speaking, and he said at the podium today in his conference call that, you know, he doesn't expect the Saints fans to give him any warm and fuzzies for yours truly, quote unquote. But the way they perceive Sean Payton is, hey, you are our guy. You know, you helped us heal from Hurricane Katrina. You won the only Super Bowl we have. The only marked period of success in our franchise history, sustained success, was from you. Then you left us to retire, only to pop up a year later. And by the way, only a year after Drew Brees retires, you retire. Then you come back a year after that with a different squad. They're going to be hating it, but this is where Sean Payton's got to be like, look, don't talk back to dad. This is, I'm showing you I'm still dad. I got the old man strength. Don't step to me.
I think this is actually setting up beautifully for the Broncos playing Thursday. Working under the presumption that they're pissed off and want to get the taste out of their mouth from yesterday's game, they don't have any time to dwell on the Chargers. They have to, as Sean Payton talked about, turn the page right away as soon as they went to bed last night. So it's an easy, short way to really get a lot of their frustrations out and show the national stage, show the world and the country that they're not a joke, that they can compete and they're resilient to battle back from what was a pretty dismal defeat.
Here's a bold prediction. Zach Allen has himself a day. He's been consistent week in, week out. But this is a game I'm going to predict Zach Allen comes away with a couple of sacks, one of which is like a big game changer. There's your crystal ball, bold prediction for week 7. But guys, we're about out of here. We got a few messages for you, so don't leave quite yet. But this is your last call for any burning questions or supers.
Cannot believe it's been 45 minutes already, but not surprised. You are the greatest, every single one of you. That was the MHH podcast. If you're not doing so yet, please follow us on Twitter at the MHH pod. You can follow the main account on Twitter at Mile High Huddle, Chad at Chad and Jensen, myself at Kelberman NFL, and Scott, our producer, at Scout Kennedy. If you guys want some merch like we're rocking each and every single podcast, check out mhhmerch.com. And get yourself some, baby. If you haven't done so yet, drop us a like at facebook.com/milehighhuddlepod. You can find us on Instagram at mile_high_huddle. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, make sure you're leaving your football priest a 5-star review for a chance to win some merch each and every single month. But if anything, please, please, please subscribe, like, and share this video and every video you see on the MHH channel. It really helps us grow. It really does. And reach more Broncos fans just like you.
This is awesome, DJ. I'm glad you got the jersey, that it made it to you safe and sound. He says, what's up, guys? I'm ready for the game. I'll take a picture with the new jersey and post it. Definitely do that, my friend. He got the Bo Nix jersey, so that's good to hear. All right, guys. Well, listen. Love you. Thank you for spending time with us tonight. Can't wait to see how it shakes out. Zach and I, of course, we're back for the gut reaction Thursday night. It'll be a late episode. But in the meantime, don't miss the dudes tomorrow night, Building the Broncos, Nick and Carl. And, of course, Wednesday morning, you'll have some Broncos for breakfast. Right, Scott? And then some Mile High Insiders Wednesday evening to finish previewing the game. So, good stuff, baby. And thank you, Mike, checking in at the very end, punctuating the show. So Mile High salute and a special shout out to the great Super Chat superstars and supporters like The Ronk, like Sam Bam tonight, helping us keep the lights on. The Papa Bear, David McElrath. Drake checking in from Colts Nation. Colts Nation. Thank you, bro. Eric Flynn. Zeus McPeak. Phil McLaughlin. George Fox. Zeebo. The Duchess. Michaela Parker. Taylor Christensen. D-Dub, our great friend, Dale. And I think that covers everybody. So love you guys. Thank you so much. Have a great week. Can't wait to see you again Thursday night.
Quick turnaround. We will see you guys on Thursday night for the gut reaction. Have a great start to your week. Take care. And as always, go Broncos.
Head on over to milehighhuddle.com for all things Broncos.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours.
Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over 1 million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.